this week on Peace to Live By.
As far as overcoming Satan's attacks, well, we need to make right choices, right?
So God has given us a way to stand against the wiles of the devil. God is asking us to put on the whole armor of God.
Welcome to the program today. Peace to Live By is a radio ministry featuring Bible teacher Daniel Litton, found online at peacetoliveby.org. This program exists to build up Christians in becoming more like Jesus Christ and to give witness of the truth to those who do not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Let's hear Daniel tell us more about the message today. Daniel?
Today's episode originally aired back in 2017, where Pastor Larry Caldwell and myself answered listeners' questions back at that time. As some of you are aware, Larry went home to be with the Lord at the end of September. I think this will be a good opportunity today and next week for us to rehear, re-listen to what Larry had to say, and he can shed some light on these matters for us again. Larry was a faithful brother who accomplished the work God gave him to do, and he knew his Bible from the beginning to the end.
Okay, thanks, Daniel. Now, here's today's message.
Okay, welcome to the broadcast today. There's not going to be a sermon today, but rather I am going to answer some listeners' questions. Here with me to help out is my friend, Pastor Larry Caldwell. Larry and I have been friends for about 4 or 5 years now, and he is a strong, faithful, and knowledgeable brother, and I think he will be very beneficial to our discussion today in answering these listeners' questions. Now, before we get into the questions, I'm going to let Larry tell us a little bit about himself and about his background and his coming to know the Lord.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you very much for inviting me to your show, and it's an honor, it's a privilege. And my name is Larry Caldwell. I'm pastor of New Faith Ministries on the east side of town, just right off of Bryce Road. God has given us a wonderful ministry of feeding his people spiritually and physically. And we have an outreach food pantry, and we're able to provide meals for, about just under 300 families a month. I think it's very important for every church to have an outreach to welcome people inside the church doors, and not just minister to people within the doors, but be a light to the community. And God has allowed us to do that. Because I tell you, God created me to be a pastor, and I love it with all my mind, heart, and soul. I love being a pastor because that's what he created me to be. I have the best job in the world. I get to talk about Jesus. You know, God has done so much for us. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." God has called you and placed you in this world to be a light, to bring someone to Christ. Accept your calling. It'll be the best thing that you've ever done in your life.
Okay, that was great to hear, Larry. So, Larry, I'm going to have you go ahead and read the questions, and then I will try to answer them to the best of my ability, and hopefully some insight will be given into these important topics, and the answers will be helpful to the listeners. I am also going to ask Larry to provide his insight into these topics, as he obviously, again, is very knowledgeable of the scriptures through his years of study and service and ministry. Before we get into these questions, Larry, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful day and the opportunity to do this broadcast of answering listeners' questions and have Larry here to help answer these important questions, things that are on the hearts and minds of believers and perhaps even unbelievers. Father, I pray that you will guide our conversation and help us to answer these questions to the best of our ability. Father, I pray for those who are listening that our answers will be helpful to them and that they will be able to learn something new today, Father, or to be reminded of important truths about your word, and help all of us who believe today to be continuing to grow and to becoming more like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's get into the first question here.
First question from one of your readers is, are there passages in the Bible that tell us what makes God happy? It seems in this world there must be so much that makes God unhappy. What can we do for him?
Okay, so this is a great question we have here to start us off. I think more than anything, what makes God happy is spending time with us. I think he really enjoys the time we spend with him every day. Another thing that makes him happy is when he sees us growing in our lives, becoming better in our thinking, our responses to things that happen in our lives, little or big. God likes to see that we are making progress, bettering ourselves as we become more pleasing to him. And we find that as we do this, as we grow, as we develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we enjoy our lives more. I know some Christians who have a very, very slow rate of growth, worse than a Colorado blue spruce pine tree. It almost seems to be stagnant. I know because I used to be this way myself. I was this way for years. We reach a certain level of growth, and then we seem to put ourselves in cruise control. But there is always some way to be improving ourselves. The Christian life is one of constant growth, and we should never just be cruising along, making little to no progress here and there.
This question is very good, and it lets us know that the person who asked this question, what do they want to do to make God happy? And when I read this question, the first thing that came to my spirit was faith. And it reminds me of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If we have faith in God, if we love God, if we trust God, if we diligently seek God, I think that would make God extremely happy. And also, being a living sacrifice. As the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And God asks us, he says, be not transformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And those scriptures tell me that God wants us to make a difference in this world by our faith and by our lifestyle. And I think those things are very pleasing to God. And by our lifestyle, we can actually lead people to Christ, because as Christians, the world is looking at us.
Excellent.
Now, here is question two. Statistics show most Christians don't tithe. What is the purpose of God has behind tithing? What does it mean to him? Does the Bible say that in tithing, we actually test God on it? I'm almost afraid to say that, because I thought we weren't supposed to test God on anything. Or is it a promise?
Okay, so another great question here. Personally, I'm not sure how many Christians are actually tithing versus how many do not tithe. I haven't heard any recent statistics on it. The whole idea about tithing is putting God first with our money by setting aside 10% for him. This was something that was practiced by the Israelites in the Old Testament, and something that I believe is good for us to practice even to this day. As far as testing God, I would say just give your 10% to the church and believe that God will take care of you. God honors those who put him first. Now, I would say that if you are being disobedient in your life, not practicing what the Bible says, then don't expect God to bless you and take care of you. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 20 says, "For the evil man has no future. The lamp of the wicked will be put out." I really don't think you will miss your money if you are putting God first. I think that the people who give won't be in want, while the people who withhold their money will likely be in want.
This is really a question of love. What's more important to us? What do we love the most? I think if we were to look at our bank statements, we would see what's priority in our lives. I think that giving a tithe, if God has called you to do that, that's wonderful to be a part of God's work, to helping people grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe that, as the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, every man according to as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Does it make you happy when you give? Are you grudgingly giving? Are you giving just so that you can have something on your books when you see God? Are you giving because you love his work? You love the ministry. You're passionate about what he's doing because you want to see people come to Christ. So it's really a heart issue. Why are you doing it?
Excellent. Great stuff.
Okay, we've come to our third question here. Prayer seems to be the most powerful thing in the world. What does God say about prayer on his part? Does he really keep our tears in a bottle? Are there certain things God wants us to pray for and some things he doesn't want us to pray for?
Okay, so this is obviously a very important matter for us as Christians. James obviously tells us, "The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." That's James chapter 5 and verse 16. James also said that we are to draw near to God first, and then he will draw near to us. So we have to take the initiative. God certainly keeps our tears in a bottle, at least in the figurative sense. He cares deeply about what we need and what we want. The problem for us often is that we do not believe that God cares. We really don't think he's on our side, and as a result, we limit how God can work in our lives. We display a lack of faith. As far as praying for particular things, surely there are things God wants us to be praying for. The Lord's Prayer found in Matthew chapter 6 is a perfect example of that. Jesus also told us to ask God for what we need and want. Now, there are also things that we don't need to pray for, actually, like what sin is and what sin is not. The Bible clearly states what God considers sin. Now, in a gray area, you might want to pray about that to see what the Lord's will is and what he gives us peace about. We can then make a decision, in essence, a test, and see if we still have our peace based off what we have decided. If we lose our peace, we know we are outside of God's will and whatever we are doing. We should never ask God something like, "Is it okay for me to date a girl who is married?" We already know what God thinks about that.
Wow, what another great question. Prayer is awesome. Prayer connects us directly with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is communication two-way, from us to him and from him to us. I love it what Paul says. He says, pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. And he says in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And the next part of this question was awesome as well, because tears in a bottle. I had to look that up, and it was in Psalms 56. Great question.
Wow.
And it goes, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? And as I read the chapter, it just reminded me of how when we cry, and we would cry unto the Lord, that our tears are important to him, that our sorrows are felt by him, that he loves us and he cares about us. And they're not wasted tears. They mean so much to him. And he's letting us know that he cares. And sometimes, unfortunately, we have to go through situations that are tough. But please know that God is with you and that he will never leave you or forsake you. That is his word. And you're not alone, no matter what happens. You're never alone. He's right there next to you and with you through the situation. And I agree with you, Daniel, in the Lord's Prayer. And we ought to pray that thy kingdom come and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, please give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive others. And Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And I also would agree that let us not pray for anything that is sinful. Let us not pray for anything that it does not bring glory and honor to God. Very great question.
Great, man. That was great.
Question 4, what does it really mean to take up the whole armor of God? Does God promise to deliver us from the devil's attacks? Can the devil supernaturally attack us where we wouldn't stand much of a chance?
All right, so this is a very interesting question here. This is actually an area I would like to do a sermon series on someday. It's definitely on my to-do list. I think the best way to understand the Ephesians 6 passage, where Paul talks about taking up the armor, is to try to gain a visual picture in your head of the different parts of the soldier's armor. Now, Paul here obviously was talking about a Roman soldier, so I always like to have a visual when it comes to this Ephesians chapter 6 passage. The different pieces are different things that the soldier uses to either protect himself or to, in fact, attack. When Satan presents his lies to us, we need to be ready to use the relevant piece of armor in that attack. There's no question that Satan will attack all believers at one time or another. There's no such thing as being exempt from the picking on the attacks of Satan. As far as overcoming Satan's attacks, well, we need to make right choices, right? That's why Paul has told us to take up the armor of God. If we aren't prepared and don't do the right things, we may lose the battle. God promises to deliver us if we make the right choices. There is always a way out when facing a trial or temptation. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it.
This question reminds me of this past winter. I went to take the trash out, and I had on house shoes, and I had on some pajamas, and I didn't have on a hat, and it was very, very cold. And every area that was exposed suffered. So as a believer, every area in our lives that is exposed is attacked. So God has given us a way to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I love Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is how we are allowed to be strong in the Lord. This is what it takes to be strong in the Lord and his might. God is asking us to put on the whole armor of God. And I love what verse 11 says, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It doesn't say that we have to fight, but just be prepared to stand. And this is a supernatural, spiritual battle. And in the spiritual realm, if you're not prepared for the attacks, you can become a victim. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. There is nothing that Satan can do to us without first asking permission from God. So can the devil supernaturally attack us to where we wouldn't stand a chance? No. Because we have God with us, and he promises never to leave us. We don't need to be afraid of Satan. We need to be prepared to stand against him if he comes our way. And the Bible says that we ought to pray always.
Excellent, excellent.
Question number 5, in a world of varying religions, what makes Christianity special? What makes it more than just another religion?
Okay, so fundamentally, Christianity is the only religion where you are accepted by a God based off his grace, a gift to humanity. All other religions require us to impress the God in some way, shape, or form. We know that Christ took our place and died the death that we deserved to die. He paid the penalty for our sin debt each of us has against God. It's not through good works that we are saved, like in other religions. In Christianity, God himself came into the world as a human and died in our place so that we owe God nothing for our sin. He reconciles us to God so that we can be in close, intimate, one-on-one relationship with him. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 3 through 6 state, God our Savior desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time.
What makes Christianity special? Well, when I think of my relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't think of it as a religion. I think of it as relationship. Just as Daniel and I are friends and we speak to each other in love, it's a relationship. It's a relationship with the creator of the world. It's very special. It's not a religion. I've heard it said like this: religion is man's attempt to reach God, but Christianity is God's attempt to reach man. I'm not worshiping a denomination. I'm worshiping the Savior, the risen Savior. It's wonderful to be a part of the body of believers, but Christ being the head. But all in all, what makes Christianity special is because it's real and it's alive and it's a relationship. And you can know Jesus for yourself if you just invite him into your life. And I want to say this. I want to say, for many of us, we were blind by this world. But now with the relationship of Jesus Christ, we can see. And seeing is of a spiritual nature. Bear with me while I say these three verses. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceedingly greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. See, it's not a religion, it's a relationship.
That was great, man. Well, we are out of time for today. I believe we got through the first five questions. So next week, we will pick up on question number six and answer the four remaining questions. Looking over these, we definitely got some more cool things to talk about, like politics, Bible translations, and some other things. I hope Larry and my knowledge in answering these questions has been helpful to you as the listener. And as you seek to understand these things more from the Bible, and as you seek to grow in your Christian walk. Larry, I would like to thank you for your help today. Thanks, brother, for spending your time helping folks understand the scriptures more.
It was my pleasure to be here.
Before we finish here, I'm going to have Larry talk about how anyone can come into personal relationship with Christ and why that's so important for us. Larry, if you would please explain why being in right relationship with God is so good for us.
Is there something missing in your life? Is there a void somewhere in your soul? Do you feel like there's something out there that you're missing? Are you looking for something that the things of this world can't fill? I would invite you to try Jesus. I would invite you to open your mouth and your heart and ask God to come into your life. I've seen it time and time again when someone asks the Lord Jesus Christ into their lives, how he transforms them from the inside out. I love what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What that means is if you call God and you ask him to save you, if you ask him to come into your life, he will. And he will transform you from the inside out. And he will fill that void that is missing.
Thanks, Larry. That was great. Of course, anyone out there can enter this relationship by accepting what Jesus has accomplished for them on the cross, by trusting in his sacrifice and following him as guide in their life. If you would like to do that today, just follow my lead in this simple prayer. Say, God, I realize today that I am separated from you, but I don't want to be separated from you anymore. I do believe Jesus died for my sins on the cross, and I do believe he rose from the dead, and I want to trust in his way of doing things from now on. So, God, as I give my life over to you, please change me from the inside out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. You've been listening to Peace to Live By with Bible teacher Daniel Litton. To download and listen to complete messages by Daniel, visit peacetoliveby.org. Again, that web address is peacetoliveby.org. There on the website, you'll also find a link to contact the ministry. We love to hear from our listeners. Feel free to reach out and send us your comments. Your messages are encouraging and inspiring for us. If you want to contact Daniel directly, send your email to daniel@peacetoliveby.org. For Daniel Litton, I'm Wayne Shepherd. We'll be back next week for another episode of Peace to Live By. This program is produced and sponsored by Peace to Live By Ministry.